It'll be first and 25.
This is First and 25, the Football Zebras podcast, episode 4, A New Hope. And this is our 25-minute roundtable discussion on officiating. I'm Ben Ostro, founder and editor-in-chief of Football Zebras, joined by writer Pat Weber and our writer-analyst Chris Soybert, our hyphenate, I guess you could call there.
Third week of the NFL season in the books, and we have a few unusual situations cropping up. Top of the list this week, in Dallas, Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, in his own end zone, throws a desperation pass. There's no receivers, no eligible receivers in the area. His offensive lineman, Tyler Smith, catches the pass and flags fly. Everyone is anticipating intentional grounding, but the only foul was for illegal touching of the pass. So the Ravens declined the penalty because it would have repeated third down. We originally reported this, that you cannot have grounding when there's a catch. However, we found out from some league sources, two league sources steered us in the right direction on this. It should have been both intentional grounding and illegal touching of the pass, one being declined and then the intentional grounding accepted and converted to a safety. There is a twist to that. We'll get to that, but let's address the play as it was called on the field. So a lot of moving parts here. What did you see? What did you see there?
Yeah, you know, just a really kind of crazy play. You know, we kind of talk about, you see everything you see once and haven't had this in a few years. And when you take a step back, common sense kind of tells you it should be intentional grounding because there's no eligibles around. But I think when you see the big number make a catch and move with the ball, it takes a second to process all that. And some things kind of get lost in the wayside.
Yeah, they had to make sure, you know, they had the right call, and it ultimately looks like they didn't, right? You know, the original reporting was this was a loophole in the NFL, while at the high school and college level, this loophole does not exist. So that would make zero sense, right? So I think the refereeing crew, again, they saw a lineman catch it. They go, oh, that's, you know, illegal touching. They throw the flag, and they, I think they just kind of forgot about the fact that it should have been intentional grounding, and ultimately it should have been a safety. Now, again, we're not sure if that's the case because, you know, the line of scrimmage officials were looking to see if Dak was down or not in the end zone. So they may not have been paying as much of attention to if there was an eligible in the area. And also the fact that if the penalty was declined for illegal touching, as it was, it should have been spotted much further back than what it was. So a lot of chaos that ultimately replay assist also didn't help with, which is also interesting because you would expect them to be on top of that as well.
And in this particular situation, yeah, we would have the ensuing down was 4th and 10 at the 7, but the ball was caught and downed at the 4. So even though we have illegal touching, by the fact that they declined the penalty, it now becomes a valid catch. And so the play continues. It's not that, okay, he caught the ball and we'll just treat it as an incomplete pass. It does become a completed pass and statistics accrue for that. But in this particular case, they just went back to the previous line of scrimmage. So that didn't quite align with the call on the field. So then adding to all of the complication of this, the source that reached out to me first initially posed this as, this is correct, this should have been intentional grounding if it were a pass. And then, of course, my eyebrows shot up. What is this if there was a pass? And in the replay area, they're looking at the fact that Dak did not have control of the ball when it's going forward. So now we've just opened up a whole nother avenue there.
Yeah, now if you have a fumble, all bets are off. I mean, you can't obviously have intentional grounding if there's not any pass, and then you don't have legal touching either. You just have a fumble recovered by the lineman, and the ball goes where it goes.
And I think, you know, each of us were watching this in replay, right, because we were trying to research for this topic, and I don't think any of us watching the play initially thought it was a fumble. It looked like Dak was pushing it forward, trying to get out of his hands, get it to anyone in the area, which, again, was just the lineman. So it would have been interesting to see if replay had actually come back. Had they called grounding, it was a pass and a safety. I don't know if I believe them when they say, oh, yeah, we would have overturned that and called that a fumble. But that's what they're claiming, and I don't know if they're just in sort of fire prevention mode here where they're trying to put out all the fires because of the fact that there was so much chaos on this play or what. But again, initially looking at this, it looked like it was a pass from Dak.
And that's one of the things that, without getting into where the sourcing comes from, we're certain that, you know, this is emanating from the replay area as far as what they were looking at. So why didn't they jump in? Something like this, and we talk about the replay assist function, and I guess the best way to kind of convey where the line is drawn is if the replay official is shuttling that video back and forth, they're analyzing the play, and that then becomes outside of the scope of replay assist. It's really supposed to be, okay, back it up to the spot with the knees down. Okay, now we can give you a refined spot. Something very objective like that. If it involves rocking the video back and forth to try and get a sense of things, that's a challenge if it's outside of 2 minutes or not a scoring play, or a booth review if it's a scoring play. And that's where the rub comes in. In this particular situation, if they had called intentional grounding, this would have been a booth review because it's a scoring play all of a sudden. And then the question is, as you point out, Chris, would they have stepped up at that point and analyzed the fumble? And that's part of the replay process is, you know, you're just going to analyze everything from start to finish. So it's going to begin with, they're not going to look at any kind of grounding aspect. They're going to start, do we have a pass? Either because of a fumble or because of a body part down. And that's just all of these elements that come together. And I understand that at lower levels, you don't have the complication of replay. You can kind of go through this without having to worry about that extra aspect.
And I think what also added to some confusion was that, you know, Mike Pereira was on the broadcast. He said it should have been grounding. It would have been interesting if, again, Walt Anderson's new role of sort of network liaison, if he had jumped in, because it was a really confusing play. And this is where ultimately, again, maybe perhaps if Mike had not been there, he would have jumped in. But again, a little more explanation from the powers that be and, you know, the rules analysts, I guess you could say, would have been helpful for everyone.
Now, I think it's important, too, to note how important the case book and case plays are to plays like this. You know, we talked about high school and college. College has a very defined case play on this, and it's very explicitly intentional grounding. The NFL does not have a case play for this play yet. I assume one will come, but that's, if you have a case play that spells it out, there's not the confusion.
And that's the thing that we were trying to get a grip on was, you know, we were looking through the case book, and yeah, there are several entries for intentional grounding. Each one of them had some other aspect that did not have the involvement of the catch. And I suppose that, you know, people writing it at that particular time were thinking it was pretty obvious. But, you know, when we were starting to work with words like lands in an area. Now we're saying, okay, well, that's grounding, and the word grounding is in grounding. So we kind of default back to the words have meanings rule. And so again, I think it's a deficiency in the case book, because we do see quite a bunch of scenarios, and you've read it yourselves, where it's like stacked with a bunch of complications. All of those are necessary, but sometimes you do need a simple, here is the one element, now how are we ruling on this?
Yeah, and there is precedent, right? I mean, we went to Quirky Research, right? And this has been called on catches in the past. So it's not a completely new situation, but one that doesn't happen but every maybe 10 years. So again, a casebook case in there would at least have it on everyone's mind going into a particular season.
So to peel the curtain back a little, we recorded this podcast on Monday night, and then we got more information about this play on Tuesday. So rather than go forth with the old information that had some incorrect information in there, we decided we were going to re-record this podcast. At the beginning, I said this was episode 4, A New Hope. Well, we took a page from George Lucas, and we have a special edition. So in the original podcast, Han shot first, but we'll pick up from where we left off in our podcast.
Now let's move on to Indianapolis, where we had Bears punter Torrey Taylor, and he's hit in his plant leg just after the kick. Now, there's a little bit of a delay, and then a flag comes out. Referee Adrian Hill and umpire Roy Ellison had a discussion, and they settled on roughing the kicker. Now, the Colts challenged this, and any aspect that has to do with touching the ball or the ball touching something is reviewable, and however that affects any ruling that can be applied. So in this case, the Colts were hoping for a flag pickup, because you cannot have roughing the kicker if the ball is touched and if there's just not any other really outlandish, unnecessary roughness added to that, that flag will get picked up. So a replay looked at it, and there was no conclusive evidence that it was touched. So the call stands. Again, another unusual situation. Let's unpack this.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like on the face of it, it was a good call, because the defender was coming in. I'm guessing the discussion was he blocked? Because it was through the center of the line. So there's clearly blocking going on as they're coming through. Replays seem to show that he had a clear path and he was trying to block it because they were near the end zone. And then the question was the touch. And the touch, again, went to replay. But, you know, I think ultimately safety came into a factor here, and hitting that plant leg is the automatic roughing, right? So going back to the replay, they didn't see, and I think, you know, on the broadcast, they said they did not see the ball change flight. And that was really what they were looking for, was the touch on and the change in flight of the ball. And ultimately, again, replays, the whole intention of replay is to correct the obvious and clear errors. And I think in this case, it was not an obvious and clear error, so they held with the call.
Yeah, and it's you know, important to kind of note that the blocking aspect has to be entirely discussed on the field between the officials. They can only look at the touching and replay. So if they have a block, that's entirely on them seeing it on the field and getting together and discussing that amongst themselves.
And that's another aspect, like as you said, good point, that replay can't get involved in the subjective elements, whether or not who's blocked into or not, or there's a difference between 5 or 15 depending on which leg. If you hit the plant leg, cause for more injury, that's a 15-yarder. If you hit the kicking leg, that's only a 5-yard, and, you know, if it's not enough for a first down, then it's repeat fourth down. So there could be a situation where if they miscall it, or maybe both legs are contacted, then it goes to the 15, but they only saw the 5, that's also not an opportunity for replay to jump in and say, yeah, you need to make that roughing the kicker. And it's just really, you know, yeah, touching the ball in replay. That's all they can do is to keep that flag, you know, pick that flag up In a rare situation, if the referee announces that there was no roughing or no running into because they deemed the ball to be touched, if that's announced, then that is challengeable by the coach. Or if it's inside two, then it's inside the two-minute warning, then it is reviewable by the replay booth. And essentially what they're going to do is look for that touching aspect and then just modify the announcement. But that has to be announced. That cannot be something that replay goes in on their own and tries to figure that out without that announcement. And that would be to put a flag down. Most of the situations are that enter replay or to pick one up. So a very unusual situation, and the fact that the coach challenged that aspect, and there wasn't very much to it, but and as you said, rightfully stands. So we'll take a pivot, and we're going to move to college football, because this was something that caught our eye. And TCU is visiting SMU. Now, TCU is flagged for holding. Now, we will give the fact that there was marginal holding, if that, on the kickoff return. This was for the second half kickoff. And TCU coach Sonny Dykes, he was complaining. There was some on the sideline, there was an alternate official. So you could see the hat, you could see the striped pants, but he was wearing a warm-up jacket and not, wearing his stripes as an alternate. And one snap after that, so he was flagged for unsportsmanlike there. After the snap, I guess he kept going after him, dropping some really bad stuff, which we discussed in last week's podcast about where that threshold is as far as giving a player, or in this case a coach, an unsportsmanlike conduct, and cross that line. So two unsportsmanlike conducts in a row there, that's the automatic ejection. The bonus to this is that Sonny Dykes, as the TCU coach, used to coach SMU, so the walk to the locker room had quite a nice cheer to it as he exited the field. So not very many times this came up. I believe this is the third time, going off the top of my head, that this has come up in recent memory. I think that there's other situations where it came up in the past, but more to where they've been really enforcing the two unsportsmanlike is the automatic ejection. I think this is the third time this has happened. So again, we're looking at coach official interaction, and what are your takeaways from this?
Well, like you said, we see it in other, basketball or baseball, coaches get ejected from time to time. It is very uncommon in football. I know there was one coach, the Mac, a couple years ago for sure, and like you said, maybe one other time. But if they earn them, they earn them, and there's not much choice when they get a second one.
Yeah, and I think this one was even more unique because of the alternate official encounter, right? Typically, it's your wings who are getting the earful from the coach. I know, again, Pat, maybe you can jump in here a little bit too. Typically, the mechanic is, as the referee, you're letting the wing official deal with it. And if he starts to have problems, approaching the line, not necessarily like completely over where they're just going to throw the flag, they'll bring the referee over. And, it's almost like calling your dad. As soon as your dad comes home, you get in trouble, right? As soon as the referee comes over, you're probably getting your first unsportsmanlike conduct. With the alternate official, obviously they're not carrying a flag with them. They have to go to the refereeing crew and say, hey, this guy has crossed the line. We need to get him out of here. And that makes us even much more unique along the lines of, hey, we don't typically throw out football coaches. They typically have a long leash as long as they're not, coming to the numbers or making a spectacle of themselves on the field. This was an interesting situation where, that coach certainly had to go based on everything we've heard so far about what happened.
Yeah, I know a couple of years ago there was an emphasis that kind of continues that we really aren't going to allow coaches to come onto the green to argue calls. And that's kind of been a line. If they come onto the field to argue, they're going to get 15. But I don't think with at least the second flag, I'm pretty sure he was just on the sideline giving it to the official, which is not as common to see that. Definitely different with the alternate getting involved.
And you could actually see, I mean, he was really hot on the sideline. And to a point, you say, okay, you let the coach, I think we did say this last week, you let the person, you know, whether or not it's player or coach, you know, within reason, you let them get their frustration out, you know, just blurt it out, and all right, we move on. You come back for a second helping, you know, you've pretty much pulled the flag out of my belt and dropped it. Yeah, he was pretty hot on the sideline. Justifiable or not, you know, people saying, well, yeah, but there wasn't a hold. You still have to maintain your composure on the sideline. You cannot be one snap away from a play and be arguing it, because as much as you may be right, it is fruitless at that particular point. I mean, have you encountered situations where, you know, I pretty much would assume that a coach would drag something into the next stoppage and that would maybe be the end of it. But have you encountered situations like this where coach is just relenting on the nearest official they got?
A couple times in football. I've had it more like in baseball, that especially in series, they'll bring stuff up from the day before, and that's a problem. But especially with the D1 stuff, with their TV timeouts and commercials, I don't think it's super uncommon. You know, they have more time to air some of that out during a commercial break and kind of get over the hump and then move on. And, you know, you think maybe in that game, if they get to commercial and they can have let them air it out a little bit more, then it ends. But Sonny was not going to let it get to that point.
Yeah, I mean, I've had some actually this year where, and I think as an official, you lose a little respect for the coach because, again, we understand it's an emotional game. We understand you are going to be upset about a call. But if you drag it out and continue to complain about it, at that point, I don't have a benefit of the doubt to give you anymore because, again, you just keep going back to it. It's like, hey, we heard your point. We understand. We called it for a reason. We see your point of view. Drop it and move on. And it's the coaches that don't are the ones that, A, get the flags in this particular case, and the ones that, you know, don't get the benefit of the doubt from the officials when we have to give one because it's they just go back to the well over and over
again. I think one thing to note, too, with the college – so this is the first year in college football they're allowed to have iPads on the sideline. Very big emphasis on if they use the iPad to disagree with a call, like that is an automatic unsportsmanlike. And I'm not sure I've seen one yet this year, at least in the training tapes I've seen. That situation almost, you know, if you didn't agree with the hold, you could almost see him taking the iPad and look, see, it wasn't a hold.
And then, yeah, then you have to do everything in your power to, you know, not even right. Get a glance of that, not even give the other team the opportunity to say, he's feeding you information off your iPad or your scoreboard watching. One of the things when you get into the bigger arenas where, you, as big as that screen is, you just don't look at it. I did look back, and fortunately, there's a website that actually keeps track of this, Football Zebras. And Mark Schultz did write back in 2021 that we had a couple of coaches ejected that season. There was also, it was 2016 where the NCAA really kind of changed the rules to get to that automatic ejection on the second on the sportsmanlike. But we'll have a link in the on the episode page there. And I just happened to think back to, there was a situation when Hank Stram was arguing in Super Bowl IV, and they caught it on the microphone on NFL Films, where he's saying, how can six of you officials miss that call? And Tom Kelleher, the wing official, says, oh, I thought you came here to tell me why you were walking on the field. Totally disarms Hank Stram. He's like, what? And the next play is happening, and completely buries that discussion from continuing. Classic NFL Films. Well, this wraps up another episode of the First and 25 podcast. My thanks to Chris Soibert and Pat Weber. I'm Ben Ostro. If you're listening on the Football Zebras website, you can also find us on your preferred podcasting app. And please subscribe. Many thanks for listening.